Who with it now? Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast. PrideofDetroit.com in your ears for everything you need to know about the Detroit Lions, the NFL. We are the SB Nation blog for the Detroit Lions, all the analysis, news, and everything else you need right now. And we have a loaded house in here. The NFL draft of 2016 is over, finally. Jeremy, fearless leader, has finally found some modicum of sleep.
Yes, I got a good 4 hours yesterday and 2 hours in the middle of the day today.
Very nice.
That is Jeremy Reisman, Detroit Online, calling in from sunny Southern California. Their voice you heard chime in there was Jerry Mallory, finally back on the podcast.
Also occasionally known as Jeremy Mallory and sometimes even Sean. It's cool.
Find Jerry at Jerry Mallory.
Oh, you almost said it, man.
Dude, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. I've had a very long weekend, too. I am Chris Lemieux at Malkovich Plan on Twitter. And also joining us in here, but distracted because he has to write about some Tigers stuff. Ooh.
What was that?
That was our fifth guest, but let me get to the fourth first. Kyle Yost is here at Kyle Ill, I believe, is the Twitter handle, Kyle _ Ill. He's going to be a little distracted because he's also handling some Bless You Boys stuff right now, though.
I'm here. I'm focused. That would also be just K-Y-E _
I-L. Oh, K-Y-E.
Kyle Ill. You know, a little play on the name, but
yeah,
I don't want to be too
fancy. I'm sorry.
Fancy.
This is only your second time on here. I got to get the Twitter handle down.
Don't worry. I forgive you, Chris. Yeah. Don't worry.
But you got time now because Castellanos just hit that 3-run homer. So
thank goodness.
Yep. And joining us from Chicago, from the wonderful city of Chicago and all that jazz, Ryan Matthews at Ryan _POD. He is our winner of the Pride of Detroit scavenger hunt, the first annual Pride of Detroit scavenger hunt, which was a work in beta process, but he took it to heart either way.
Yeah, you're going to be hard pressed to find anybody, you know, do something like I did this year, which was find a NFL player out in the wild after he was drafted.
You found an NFL player on the wild. You had We Own the Bears. You took pictures. You took video. You're there calling in from your extended stay in Chicago, and we're catching you right before you and Alex Reno and Chris Tomke isn't going with you guys to payback, right?
No, he didn't really know what wrestling was when we had conversations last night.
But you've been hanging out with him in there too.
I have. Chris Tomke, good dude. Tomke brothers are a great clan.
Yep, and they can drink pretty well, too, from what I understand, so.
Well is one way to describe it.
Yeah, Ryan's connection is going to go up and down because he is in Chicago. He is kind of, you know, it's a hotel Wi-Fi, so we're not going to worry about that. Let's first talk about the man you met, the man, the myth, the legend, Jerron Reed from Alabama.
Let's talk about Jerron Reed. Let's talk about how one of the first things I said when I went up to him was, hey, Alex Reno, our writer for our website, wanted you instead of A'shaun Robinson.
Oh, no.
This was at like 2:00 in the morning. And not only did I say that, but I also said, what's up with all you Alabama guys slipping in the draft?
You were trying to antagonize him.
I wasn't antagonizing. I was just trying to ask real questions. And he gave me real answers. So,
I mean, either way, he's got to feel pretty good about getting drafted, you know?
Especially to Seattle. I mean, good situation for him, right?
Good situation to him. Good situation for A'shaun Robinson, too. Both the Alabama boys end up paying out pretty well. And, but you got your picture with him. I think that's up now. And we took out the demonic red eyes, so you are no longer scaring little children.
Yeah, I was too excited that night to figure out how to, like, remove red eye. I never had to do that.
That's cool.
But
anyway, let's talk about that draft. Because that was a fun draft, I think. Just in general, I'm sure for Jeremy, he is very tired right now from doing all of that. But it is now Sunday. Everyone is rolling in their grades and everything else. And I think instead of giving our grades at start, we should probably start just going top to bottom? Or just actually, you know what, before we even do that, what was your favorite storyline, NFL in general, from that night? Let's start with Jerry.
I've got to go with our guy Zettel now, man. Between tackling the tree, he had to deal with the he was doing like the whip or the nay-nay, and he like did this kick, and he almost kicked one of his teammates, Brown and I saw him doing like
a teammate.
And then he did the thriller. I mean, this guy looks fun. So, you know, Tunsil was taking the lead, but now I gotta go with our man Zettel. You know, he's from Michigan. You know, supposedly him and his father, you know, go down to Lions games every so often. So I like it, man. It's a fun pick. And he kind of feels the need, too, kind of like Jason Jones, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll talk about
inside outside.
We'll talk about
so I got to go with my boy.
Yeah, we'll talk about, like, what Zettel might mean later on in the podcast, too. But, yeah, he's a fun guy. He's a renaissance man. I actually got to meet him at Big Ten Media Day last year. A lot of the stuff I wrote on Sunday is actually about that. Jeremy, your favorite storyline?
Well, if we're talking Lions, I think the Lions also got a really entertaining guy in Miles Killebrew. But if we're talking the whole draft, I really like the way the second day started. After kind of all that garbage with Laremy Tunsil, you had Miles Jack and that other guy that had an injury.
Jalen Smith from Notre Dame, yeah.
Yeah, they both got drafted right in the top there. I think in the second round, or it might have been third.
Yeah,
all the days are running together for me right now. But to see them finally get drafted was a really, really nice thing to see after the ugliness of the Tunsil situation.
That Jalen Smith video where he gets the call from the Cowboys is really touching, if y'all can find that. Yeah,
exactly.
Kyle?
In terms of draft-wide, I just thought the whole first night was really interesting to me. You know, after hearing weeks and weeks of rumors and projections about who's going to go where, who's falling, who's rising, I just think I had no idea what was going to happen next throughout the whole night, and just being able to see some guys fall and also some surprises from just a pure entertainment standpoint, I thought the first round was really interesting. For the Lions, I just maybe not a single pick, but I really like how they attacked the offensive line. You know, I think a lot of teams can talk the talk, but to see Bob Quinn come in and you know, put serious commitment into fixing the offensive line by grabbing three guys in the first five picks, I think that speaks volumes. And you know, whether it's going to work out or not is a different question, but at least seeing that commitment up front was an encouraging sign for me.
Ryan?
I really like going to the draft. I think it was a great experience. Going to Draft Town was really cool, even though it was rainy and the weather couldn't have been any worse. It was raining sideways. They didn't have any warm drinks, so I tried to stay warm with beer. But it was hashtag we own the Bears for the entire weekend. I think the best part of the draft was actually going down there and being able to experience it. As far as the Lions go, I'm super upset that they drafted a long snapper just for the fact that I don't know what that means for Moldozer.
Long Snapper Watch 2016 is back on, speaking of another hashtag, I guess.
That was also hashtag Patriot Way, right? Because didn't the Patriots take a long snapper in the draft last year?
Fifth round last year out of Navy. Granted, the long snapper the Lions did end up taking Jimmy Landis. He has like that, you know, trick snap he did from like the top of Baylor Stadium to a garbage can at like the base of the goalpost, and he hit it.
Yeah, incredibly impressive.
I also heard he called the goalpost the foul pole in his press conference after the draft.
Oh boy,
he was probably just hyper excited because again, like you know, you're a long snapper and you get a draft pick. So
right,
for me. Yeah, like, I mean, the Laremy Tunsil thing was incredibly fascinating. I really can't get around two ways about it just because, like, that someone was just being weird out there and trying to ruin him like that. But I would also say, too, I know that Keenan Reynolds, the quarterback out of Navy, got drafted. I thought that was pretty fascinating. A lot of these videos, too, like, we talk about Killebrew had, like, you know, he was on his way to graduation and was, like, whooping and hollering in the car, and then we have videos like Scooby Wright like jumping into his pool, and just some of the reactions from some of the players getting drafted. I know there was like another guy, what was it, night one or night two, who like hugged Goodell so hard he almost like knocked him over.
Yeah, that was day two. I can't remember who it was, but that was somebody day two.
I gotta wonder about some of those guys who end up in the green room, like who never get their name called. Like it's, I mean, you get to hug Goodell and walk the stage, but I mean, is it any better than like people seeing your reaction from home? So I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how that moves forward in the future.
It's an emotional weekend, and it's really fun to watch, but you got to remember there are a lot of people who have a really, really bad day, like, let's say, Jeremy Cash, who did not get drafted.
What about...
He didn't go in the second round for the Lions? I saw that somewhere.
He did in my heart.
Andrew Billings, who slipped all the way to, like, day three, I want to say.
Yeah, to the Bengals.
Yeah, he had, like, some ankle issue or something, yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the most interesting subplots in the draft to me too. All of the injury concerns that seemed like incredibly damning and dooming for guys like Jalen Smith, but then all of a sudden he goes before Connor Cook.
Well, it's funny too because what is it? Miles Jack, you know, he comes out and says I might need microfracture, and that probably causes a slip. But then the next day, Dr. James Andrews comes out and he's like, no, this he's fine to play football. He's not going to need microfracture.
At least anytime soon, right?
Yeah. So it's kind of fascinating how that played out. And actually, I forgot about that. The Connor Cook storyline is interesting to say the least. Like just watching.
Interesting is one way. To say it. A kicker was drafted before Connor Cook.
A kicker, Robert Aguayo, out of Florida State, was taken in the second round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Which I mean,
and they traded up to get that.
Look, I will defend it very weakly by saying this. One, Tampa Bay couldn't find a kicker to save their goddamn lives last year. Two, Aguayo is probably like the best kicker to come out of college football, like the most accurate, strong leg to come out of college football since for at least 10 years or so. So there is that playing into his favor. Either way, though, second round. Like
sounds like you're describing Nate Freeze from a couple years ago, man. See how that worked out.
Plus, Aguayo's got to live in the shadows of the other best kicker taken in the second round, Jason Hansen.
Well, you know what? It might just be that Tampa Bay wanted to reunite him with Jameis Winston. Could be that, too.
They can get crab legs together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they'll crush the crab legs. Pub subs. Let's move on to the Lions themselves, though. Because this is a Lions blog, still, last I checked.
Slash WWE.
Slash WWE. We're not talking about payback to save Jeremy's soul. He's so tired, I don't want to push him any further. Let's do a shout-out first to all of us who got Taylor Decker right in the first round. Jeremy, vindicated.
What
Dan, up? Dan Cater was trashing your pick, and then he's like, yeah, I trashed this earlier, but, you know, offensive tackles kind of became a need early on, so.
Little did he know that was not the pick of mine to trash.
Who else picked? I know I had, in a mock draft way back when me and Reno were, like, trading off and I did the Lions pick, I think I picked, I picked Billings. I picked Billings, my bad.
Reno picked Decker in his night before mock draft.
And I think he picked Decker in the second one we did where we were trading off, too. So he had Decker. Who else had Decker? Is those the only two of us that had Decker?
I believe so.
I don't think anyone else. What did you have in your mock, Jerry?
I had Ogba. I thought we would trade down. I had Ogba. I had, I think I had him in the first round. I had Glasgow, though. I was happy about that. I pulled a feather in my cap.
Graham Glasgow. There you go. I don't think I didn't. I certainly didn't see that coming.
He looked pretty good at the Senior Bowl those practices.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the strategy overall that Bob Quinn and his baseball bat seem to have taken to the draft this year, which is basically, and I'm just going to read down the list here: offensive tackle, defensive tackle, center, safety, offensive guard, and Joe Dahl. Linebacker and Antoine Williams in the fifth round. Jake Rudock at quarterback, which is pretty much the only skill position that they really drafted. Anthony Zettel, defensive lineman, but I think they're going to play him at defensive end because even in college he was... Anthony Zettel always was a defensive end. He was forced to play tackle at Penn State because of the sanctions, and he was like immediately undersized for that role anyway. So they'll probably move him back defensive end. The aforementioned long snapper. Oh, then I forgot, seventh round running back Dwayne Washington out of University of Washington. But still, top heavy, lot of linemen, you know, a couple of things for the back, for the backfield, but just very, very meat and potatoes, I should say. A lot of people thought they would take a wide receiver earlier on. What did you guys make of all of this?
I think it speaks volumes to Quinn's evaluation of the current team. I think he looked at a guy like Travis Swanson and said, okay, I want the exact opposite of him. So let me get someone big and strong. You know, supposedly Swanson was, I don't know, a technician or something, but, you know, he got knocked down too much. The offensive line, it doesn't take, you know, a GM to see how bad that was. So, I mean, the Decker pick makes a ton of sense. You can put him on the left or the right. Robinson, I think that speaks to guys like Gabe Wright and even the Dahl pick. I think some people mentioned it kind of speaks to maybe the interior of the line. Either he's not enamored with Lakin Tomlinson, which I've heard, or I think you mentioned it, Chris, you know, with Larry Warford's contract coming up. You can always re-sign so many guys from that 13 class, so maybe he's the odd man out.
Yeah, maybe. And, like, yeah, I think it also speaks that he seems okay with the current quote-unquote skill positions we have right now, you know? Or maybe that's kind of like what his philosophy is. You don't really draft skill positions so much as you do try to get them in free agency and use them. And that seems to be what's happened here, you know? Like, he kind of eschewed a lot of that, took a flyer on a running back, but all of it's just the core of the team right now. What do you have to say, Jeremy?
I was just going to say, I think it's interesting. I didn't expect them to go skill players. I don't think they really had a big need there, regardless of what people say about wide receiver being a need. I don't think it was. The thing that did surprise me, though, was going into the draft, I was under this whole mantra of free agency, Bob Quinn took care of contingency plans. So if the Lions weren't going to get a defensive tackle this draft, they were fine. If they weren't going to get an offensive tackle, they'd be okay for a year. So I didn't think they were going to go such need heavy in the first four rounds, but they hit four of pretty much their five biggest needs: offensive tackle, defensive tackle, center, and safety with the first four picks, which I wasn't expecting at all. I was expecting more to them just kind of going best player available. And I'm not saying that, I mean, maybe they did still. Maybe their boards were filled out that way, but with a guy like Miles Killebrew, I wasn't really a big fan of that pick, as fun as, you know, his viral videos are, and he's got quite like the hit list and the highlight videos, but I'm not sure he's really going to compete for that starting spot, at least his rookie year.
Well, which day three guys do compete for starting roles in their rookie
year? But with round four, you're kind of getting that guy that might not, and I don't think Miles Killebrew is going to be that guy. I think he'll be fun on special teams. He'll be like Zach Follett or something, but
Figure out who would take strong safety. You know, you've got Glover Quinn slated in free safety, but who's right now the strong safety starter?
It's got to be Bush.
Yeah, probably Raphael Bush. Yeah.
He's got injury history. Yeah.
He can stay healthy. He's pretty good. I don't think Killebrew, there's no way he beats out a healthy Raphael Bush that first year. He might play a little nickel linebacker as well. And I think the Lions kind of wanted that flexible guy that can do a little safety, a little linebacker. But I agree, Jeremy. He probably doesn't start this first year. As much as we like looking at his big hits, he doesn't have the best awareness, you know, to start off.
Right, exactly.
Ryan, Kyle, any thoughts before we start digging into each pick?
For me, it's just kind of the same. Some of the later day three picks were a little interesting. Admittedly, you know, there's less information available about them, but I don't think it would have hurt to see maybe just kind of a lottery ticket wide receiver or something like that. You know, it's hard to complain too much about those guys, just knowing that, like you guys are saying, anybody pick there, the odds aren't necessarily high for them to make a huge impact. But some of the picks were a little bit interesting, or at least the positions they play.
What do you make of the fact that looking at the undrafted free agent signings right now, there are 3 wide receivers they have signed already?
Yeah, one thought that came to mind is maybe Bob Quinn and company kind of knew who they were going to target after the draft, and they just were able to just kind of hedge their bets and make picks during the actual draft that they knew weren't going to be available, but had a lot of Paige's earmarked on some of these wide receivers and tight end type guys, knowing they could just pick them up afterwards.
Yeah, I really like the Killebrew selection. I was very excited with that pick, actually. After getting a chance to see some of his tape after we drafted him, he is a guy, like Jerry said, the awareness maybe might not be there, but the guy really knows how to tackle. That's one thing that definitely jumped off the film to me, is that he's a very, very sound tackler, very form tackler. I'm excited to see what kind of contributions he can make this season. So,
I think another little underlying deal too, Quinn evaluating this roster, I think he likes Nevin Lawson. You know, the fact that they didn't even sniff at a cornerback, and potentially, you know, we haven't seen Alex Carter yet, but
Alex
maybe
Carter.
He's looking at him. Yeah, maybe he's looking at him and saying, this is our rookie. You know, he didn't hardly play last year. This is our first year cornerback. So, and you know, I would have to agree with him. I think our young cornerbacks, even outside of Slay, you know, he looked pretty solid. So you see a lot of mocks saying you needed somebody to play with Slay. But to me, Lawson looked good last year. Diggs looked good as a nickel. And then you got essentially a rookie in Carter, you know, coming out for his first year.
They definitely have options at CB, too. I think that's fair. We should probably start from the top here, then, now that we've kind of talked about the whole strategy and what we think Bob Quinn is doing, which, by the way, I love the baseball bat. I haven't spoken enough about the baseball bat yet. My hope is that if this doesn't become something like Stan Van Gundy's form of wall, then that will be a failure on the part of the Lions fans and the Lions themselves to promote this. So just get at it. It's a baseball bat. Like, you got to give the people what they want. Very, very Jalen Rose. I know Jalen Rose is always carrying around a baseball bat, unlike his ESPN shows and everything.
Yeah, I'm
bat night.
Bat night. That's what I'm wondering. Are we going to be able to get bats into the stadium, or can we do foam bats? Can we do foam bats?
Yeah, like inflatable bats.
Maybe an inflatable bat. Yeah, or just, I don't know. He said he did that because of like Boston baseball. You know, the Red Sox there, but. I mean, just I can only think of one scene, and that was the Untouchables. Robert De Niro.
Sunny day, stands are full of fans. What does he have to say? I'm going out there for myself. But I get nowhere unless the team wins.
Team.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I've kind of done a 180 on Bob Quinn. When we were talking about bringing him in, you see the pictures and everything. He's, you know, he was pudgy looking. He had the bangs going on. I'm like, I don't know if this guy is a real good fit for Detroit. But then, you know, he gets hired and he's a little bit slimmer. You know, he's got the Boston accent. And then this that past draft
out.
Weekend.
Yeah, that came out. Like, he was trying to hide it. And then when he says, like, was it for Junior?
Yeah, Junior. And then he's got the baseball bat to draft. So now I think he's a tough guy. So I take everything. I used to call him Doughboy Bangsy. I take that all back, man. He's a tough guy from Boston.
From Boston. He's from Southie. If this works, I mean, if this draft works out for him, his legend will only grow with a baseball bat.
That got to bring that to every draft now.
That and him high-fiving Martha Ford over Jim Caldwell. Like, just, I don't know. He felt like, it sounded like he was a kid in a candy shop. Just like, I'm finally getting to do this. I get to swing my baseball bat. When we're taking an offensive tackle. And let's talk about that offensive tackle. Taylor Decker out of The Ohio State University. And I did that to piss you guys off. You'll get your time here. Don't worry. From what I understand, like he did say that if Laramie Tunsil had dropped to him, that he would have taken him at 16. So it sounded like they were going to take a offensive tackle in the first round either way. But it sounded like Taylor Decker was the next best player available to them. So evaluate this. What do you guys think of Taylor Decker? I know it's not a sexy pick. It's an offensive tackle. Second year in a row, first round pick is a offensive lineman. And it's like talking about grilled chicken. Like, grilled chicken's delicious. It's fine. It's healthy. It's good for you. But it's nothing to write home about.
Yeah, no, I like the pick. I obviously picked him myself in the SB Nation mock. But the guy is a run mauler, and to me, that's, I know everyone harps on pass protection because pass protection wasn't very good last year, but run blocking was a million times worse. I think Decker is going to shore that up, and I don't think he's going to start at left tackle like some people think he is. I think he'll be there on the right side for a little bit. He could definitely be an option for left tackle next year if Reef is gone, but the guy is tenacious. He doesn't quit on a play. He runs over people, and that's something that the Lions have kind of been missing, a guy with that sort of attitude since Raiola left. And so I'm a little excited about it. I'm tempering my expectations a little bit. I think his pass protection issues are a little bit overstated, but they are a concern. So overall, I'm pretty happy with that first round pick.
Yeah, I like the change, you know, in philosophy. You can see where Quinn is going. He wants big guys. He wants maulers. I think before we were looking for technicians, guys that were, you know, their footwork is great and this, and it hadn't really worked, especially like Jeremy said in the run department. You know, it's hard to even see what we have in running back sometimes. They just have no holes to run through. So I definitely like the pick as well. Somebody made a good point. I was watching a draft with a few friends on Friday, and in today's NFL, you really, you know, left tackle is still the most important spot, but right tackle is getting to be almost just as important. You got guys like Von Miller that plays all over the field. You know, a guy like Von Miller, what they do is they pick your weakest offensive lineman, and that's where they come from. So you got to have a sound left and right tackle. I also think he'll start off at right tackle. But either way, that right tackle spot is becoming more and more important because you got guys that roam on defense now.
Ryan?
I just can, like, echo the sentiment that Jeremy and Jerry both had. I think that when Bob Quinn was talking about his rationale for the pick, he said he enjoyed that he thinks the fact that Decker can is the most complete tackle. I think he mentioned in the draft he can pass block, he can run block. He may have just been kind of like shining up his first round draft pick because I think a lot of the overwhelming majority says that he is, you know, more talented as a run blocker, which I think is going to be important. And I think that towards the end of the season, the transition from Lombardi to Cooter's offense, there is more of an emphasis on the run, doing things a little bit differently. So maybe I can see this as a pick that is going to push the Lions kind of like in this new direction where they do want to have a lot of guys who are, bulldozers, run maulers, guys that are going to push people off the line and make blocks at the second level. I'm looking forward to it. It's not the sexy pick, and that's the thing that keeps on getting said, is that, you know, we talked about the skill position. I mean, we drafted a quarterback. That's really the only skill position we drafted, but these picks are important. I mean, building foundationally from the line out is kind of the way to go, and I like the Decker. I like the Decker pick a lot.
You look like you want to say something, Kyle.
No, I don't have too much to add. I mean, I kind of agree with what all you guys are saying. I mean, one thing that did kind of stand out to me, too, was just hearing a little bit about him and hearing him talk. He does seem like a, you know, high-character guy, whatever, you know, that can mean. But with all the young guys that have been drafted on the offensive line over the past few years, you know, it could be a pretty young unit for a while. And having somebody that could potentially be a leader could, kind of be a guy that could be a good chemistry, kind of a glue guy. I think that could be important for a unit that's been struggling so badly over the past few years.
All right, round two, and this is my favorite pick here. This along with Anthony Zettel, is my favorite pick. Out of the University of Alabama, the Roll Tides, the Crimson Tide, the Roll Tide.
Roll Pride.
A'shaun Robinson, who does not look 21 years old.
He doesn't look 31.
He looks
straight in his 40s.
Oh my god! Like, I was digging through those like younger pictures of him, and he's still like, everything about him is just mean. Looks mean.
Looks like Kimbo Slice to me.
He does look like Kimbo Slice. It's the beard. We've got a very impressive collection of beards now on the Detroit Lions, I've got to say. But it's defensive tackle. It is where I think defensive tackle hasn't really been. I think we've been, that's been one of the top needs, I think, going into this. When people were talking about defensive tackle as a top need, but for a different reason. You know, the defensive line wasn't as bad, but still, it took a major hit after you know, losing Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. And while they do have Haloti Ngata, and he stepped up pretty well, you know, when he wasn't hurt last year, like, that's a short-term piece right there. Like, this piece is definitely for a long-term building block.
Yeah, I'm not quite as high on this pick as most people are. I think 98% of Pride of Detroit had this pick as an A or a B. I'd probably give it a B, maybe a B minus, only because I'm a little concerned about how he's going to react to the NFL. He got dogged a little bit by some scouts for taking some plays off, for being a little lazy, for wearing himself out. I know Jerron Reed will, you know, back this guy forever, but I don't know. I'm just a little concerned that we have kind of a Nick Fairley situation on our hand. I don't think it'll be as bad as Nick Fairley, but
if I may,
I just don't know. Yeah, go for it.
If I may, in his defense about taking some plays off, he's probably seeing the SEC West has kind of morphed into, thanks to Texas A&M and Ole Miss, and even like Mississippi State, like a lot of, and Auburn for that matter, a lot of those teams in the SEC West that Alabama plays are now up-tempo, air raid. Like,
sure.
They will make you take, like, you know, make you take a ton of snaps. So, for that matter, I think he's going to see far less snaps in the NFL than he will at Alabama per game average. So I think that will impact that, you know, I think that's by design. I think Alabama almost wants some guys to take some snaps off because they're just, you know, you're taking so many plays in there. Like, you know, the whole purpose of up-tempo is to wear you out.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing. That defense was so stacked that they allowed to kind of have him in a rotational role, and you don't really know exactly who's responsible for all the production that Alabama defense. Was it Jerron Reed? Was it Reggie Ragland? Or was it A'shaun Robinson? Who's kind of leading the way there? And it's kind of impossible to know just from tape, really.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about either the Alabama boys, specifically when there was talked about them, you know, going in the first round. I think in the second round, I'm cool with it. I wasn't crazy that it was A'shaun at first. Then I started looking into him a little bit more. The fact that he's 21, that's pretty good. They're saying his frame, he should add a little bit more weight. And I think if you go back to the year before, I think, is he a senior or was he a junior? I'm not sure, but the season before, he showed a little bit more in terms of pass rush. He had like 5.5 sacks. So I'm not as crazy about it as most of the fans. But once I looked into it a little bit more, I think this might be a pretty good pick. He might be more of a project than some people think, though. I don't think he comes in. People are talking about him lining up with Ngata. I think Teron Walker still beats him out this year. But in the second round, I'm cool with it. I wouldn't have been pleased if we picked either of those guys in the first round. Obviously, they fell as far as they did. But in the second round, I like his potential.
A'shaun is already over 300 pounds and is chiseled at 307. So that's kind of saying he's going to add a little more weight. That is impressive there.
Yeah, it's like 20 pounds or something.
Oh, jeez, wow.
Of lean muscle, they're calling it. So
lean,
we'll
lean muscle.
Well, I mean, I think there's a great sense of promise around him, especially just, you know, because of the uncertainty going forward in the future. Just with the current defensive tackles on the roster. I think going into the second round, you know, there was some hope that we might draft an end instead, just because that seems like a more pressing, immediate need. But just with the way that the draft is working out, and with a lot of those guys going early in the second round, I think going tackle was the smart move, and instead of kind of reaching for a different guy. And I think that he's going to turn out well and again, continue to shape this defensive line and going forward, just building some continuity just for the upcoming seasons.
Ryan, you have something to share with the class?
I do. I have Alex Reno to share with the class. Alex Reno just showed up,
Alex?
At my hotel room. Alex, say hi.
I thought that was Effetti's agent. That's Alex Reno?
This is not Effetti's. This is not his agent. This is Alex Reno in the flesh.
He's not coming over, so let's move
on. No, he's not. He's too busy opening up a six-pack of Magic Hat.
Oh, Magic Hat's good. Shout out, Magic Hat.
Yeah.
Let's move on to pick three then. Just kind of make some good time. We'll kind of go a little faster on these now that we're down here. But Grand Glasgow, I think, is going to be a surprising pick, and he is might be starting. Like, I think we can like throw open that window, considering that Travis Swanson had injury, had bad play, and more importantly, from what I understand, Jeremiah Washburn, the old offensive line coach, he was the big proponent of Travis Swanson. He got kicked out with Joe Lombardi. So there's no proponent for Travis Swanson in Allen Park right now. So Graham Glasgow, he does had some drinking problems in the back. This isn't a visual medium, but we have Alex like staring intently. Alex, do you have something to say?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How pumped are you about Graham Glasgow?
A lot more pumped than Jake Rudock, that's for sure.
Well, what do you, since we have you, Mr. Draft Expert here, what do you think of Graham Glasgow? Like, just break down Graham Glasgow for us. What are we getting in him? What do people need to know?
I like that he's a tall guy and he's very strong, which is the exact opposite of Travis Swanson.
Okay.
That's it.
What, since you came to the tail end, you want to get throw in some thoughts on Ashawn Robinson too?
Very, very old gentleman.
Okay. Back to Graham Glasgow then. Jeremy, you are the blue in the room along with Kyle. You want to talk about Graham?
I honestly haven't gotten a lot of chance to look at Graham's play. Like Reno said, he's kind of got the physical tools there. I didn't pay that much attention to Michigan's center play last season, so I can't tell you how he looked on tape too much, but he fits a need.
Yeah, I think it was a smart pick. It was honestly a bit of a surprise to me. I didn't think that he was a guy that the Lions necessarily were targeting or that they were even going to go for a center. But, you know, big physical guy. I think that he showed growth over his course in college, and especially that last year with Harbaugh I think was important. And he offers some versatility too in scheme, I think, as well as, you know, if you had to put him, slide him over to guard maybe. Again, like I was saying earlier, I think that it's really smart that they're investing so much in the offensive line. And I think that even if he was a bit of a surprise for me, it was just really encouraging to see that they're serious about upgrading here. And, you know, anytime that a new regime kind of takes over a front office, you know that they're going to want to bring in their style of guys. And I think that this, you know, maybe more than any other pick that the Lions made really shows that Bob Quinn, you know, wasn't sold on some of the personnel or the starters currently slotted in. And, you know, he found a guy that he likes more, and I really am encouraged that he went out and got him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really buy into too much about reports about that he's already unhappy with Laken Tomlinson and wants to get rid of that, because that seems a little staggering to me, because Tomlinson, I think, is better than people give him credit for. But if you told me, yeah, he wants to get rid of Travis Swanson, I can believe that. I can definitely believe that. Off top of Jerry, you have your thoughts on Graham Glasgow.
Oh, I love the pick, man.
Well, you had him in the mock, so
yeah, you know, for one, yeah, it makes me look like I know what I'm talking about. But the reason I put him there was because Swanson was pretty bad, and it seemed like the Lions, I felt like they were going to attack one of these guys, whether it was Max Turk or however you pronounce his name. And there was talks about them loving Ryan Kelly. I think if you're that intent on bringing in a young guy, then that means the guy you have, you're not feeling that high on. You know, you need a backup to Travis Swanson, but if you're talking about drafting someone, it kind of spoke to me that the Lions, they weren't happy with what they saw out of Swanson. You know, we hear these excuses about him being hurt last year, but I just don't think he's that good. When we drafted Swanson a couple of years ago, the big thing was he's going to have to improve his strength. I don't like to hear that. You know, you're drafting a center, and the first thing you hear is, well, he's going to have to hit the weight room. And even when we brought him in, our coaching staff said, yeah, he's going to have to hit the weight room. And when we saw him play, it's like, yeah, he's going to have to hit the weight room. So
he's going to have to hit the weight room some more.
Yeah, it's like it's ridiculous. So I love the pick. And then the last thing about Glasgow was, now, he went up against Sheldon Rankins, and he didn't look too good at the Senior Bowl practices, but nobody did. Sheldon Rankins just demolished everybody. But he went one-on-one with Jerron Reed, and he held his own against him. And as you remember, Bob Quinn and those guys, they were all up in the Senior Bowl looking at everything. And Glasgow looked pretty good against everybody except Sheldon Rankins. So I kind of had a feeling that, you know, wanting to get a difference from Swanson, seeing them extensively at the Senior Bowl, that they may be looking his way.
Let's move on down the line here. That is the top three picks. Now we get into day three, which is where a lot of the fun stuff is. So we're going to try to keep these a little shorter because there's a lot of them here. Let's start with Miles Killebrew out of Southern Utah, FCS guy taken.
I like the pick a lot, man. So much so, someone was asking, you know, what are my feelings on Killebrew? If the Lions picked him in the second round, I wouldn't have, you know, been upset. That's how much I like him. He won't start day one, but I think he'll be used a lot. He'll be used in special teams a ton. I think he'll play a ton of nickel linebacker. And I think he'll play a little bit of strong safety. And then, you know, once he kind of gets his awareness, kind of works those things out, I think he'll slide in and be a starter for years to come. I like the pick a lot, man.
All right, moving on down here. We're going to try to go a little faster. Let's go to round five. Joe Dahl, guard tackle out of Washington State. We still don't have Alex back, and I don't know if Ryan has any thoughts on this here, but...
I do have one thought. Do I have a robot voice or am I good?
You're good. You're good. Go on.
Okay, great. I'm doing this for the people. So my one take about Joe Dahl is that I'm glad that my team didn't move back up in the first round to grab a guard like the San Francisco 49ers did. I'm glad that we waited. I'm glad that we waited until round five to address some other interior lineman needs. So let's see what we can do with Joe Dahl. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Sounds like he's fairly flexible. Jerry, your thoughts on Joe Dahl, if you got any? I this guy's an unknown to me, I admit. Like, I watch Pac-12 after dark, but I'm not watching a lot of Washington State. I'm definitely not watching their offensive line.
Yeah, he was the first guy, you know, of the picks where I said, you know, who is he? Didn't really know who he was. However, when looking at him again, it gives you more depth. In case Larry Warford doesn't re-sign, in case someone gets hurt, remember, Warford has been injured, I think, every season. I don't think he's played 16 games yet. So I like the depth he brings. So guys like Schwartz, guys like Joe Dahl, they're going to be called upon. Michael Ola, you know. So now when a guy goes down, we're not just doomed. You got some really good backups in there. And, you know, supposedly Dahl is really good as a pass blocker. And so, you know, I'm fine with the pick after looking into it a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with certain packages, definitely. All right, next one up, let's go to Antoine Williams in the fifth round, pick 32 there. Linebacker out of Georgia Southern.
I mean, this is the point where you just got to start trusting in, you know, the research and stuff that they did. I don't know who this guy is. There were other linebackers I would have preferred to have there.
Let me, if I can then take over, I've kind of been taking a back seat, but I want to take over because I actually watch Georgia Southern games, because down in Savannah, Georgia Southern was the team there. So I know a lot of guys to Georgia Southern, James Braswell. I might actually try to have James on later podcast if he wants to talk a little bit about Antoine Williams and what we might be getting with him. But Georgia Southern, like, here's what Antoine Williams had to go through. He had to go through the transition of Georgia Southern going from FCS to FBS. He had to go into the swamp in Florida and beat Florida in their own house. He had to, with a first-year coach, tackle an FBS schedule for the first time with, you know, the Sun Belt, which included also, like, they played, like, two ACC schools out of conference in their first year as well, and they won their conference handily, and they couldn't go to a bowl game. And then, of course, the next year, a couple steps back, then up losing their coach, but then go and still decimate Bowling Green in their bowl game. Williams himself is raw, but he's mean. Like, and that's kind of what you're expecting to get in the fifth round, is someone who is, again, not polished. He's there for a reason, but there is just potential there if coached up properly. And I can understand why Scooby Wright fell. There is some injury history with Scooby, and that's kind of like, that's kind of the, and it's all in the leg too. So
something I want to point out about Antoine Williams, I think, is like how you mentioned, Chris, he is pretty raw. He's 6'3", 245 pounds. He's a big guy, real big guy.
Yeah.
And, I think that the other interesting thread to this is that we kind of still are up in the air of what's Steven Tulloch's role.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's still on the team. We expected him to maybe be traded. That didn't come to fruition. So maybe this is the Lions getting some more linebacker depth, depending on what they end up doing, you know, with Tulloch. So
the one that we've all been waiting for, round six, pick 16, 191 overall, quarterback out of Michigan. Kyle's all hype. Jake Rudock.
Hail.
What are we getting ourselves into?
This is the steal of the draft, could you say?
Get out of here.
I can't evaluate this properly. I'm like writing a piece right now trying to evaluate if this is going to be like just the implication of this with the fan base. And there's no middle ground here, right? There's absolutely no middle ground on Jake Rudock.
I feel like as a Michigan fan, and you know, admittedly, you know, a big homer like maybe a lot of listeners are, I feel like, you know, I can find some sort of middle ground, and I understand why, you know, there's other quarterbacks on the board, but if you truly look at his senior year and just look what happened over the course of the season as he was able to develop and, you know, really recover from a disastrous, or if at best just simply average, you know, first 5-6 games, I think that there's real reason to think as a Lions fan that if there was any injury sort of concern with Stafford, that Rudock could come in and he could deliver a performance that would be fine. That would be better than what we've seen from backup quarterbacks in the past. He's not going to be the type of guy that's going to be an all pro or even going to compete for the starting job, but I don't think that's a problem.
You talk about Stafford getting hurt. Can we clarify this? This isn't going to be a Drew Bledsoe situation, people.
No, not at all. You know, if anything happened, he would be there to strictly fill in, and he would be there to, you know, to kind of cover the gap until the quarterback situation was remedied with Stafford coming back from injury. And I think that he's fully capable of doing that. He showed that, you know, over the second half of the season, he really developed the deep ball. He gained a lot of accuracy there, and he just his pocket presence was better with his mobility. I just think in almost every area of his game, he progressed over the season. And that type of upward momentum, I think, is important as he's coming into the NFL.
Oh, we got Jeremy back. Jeremy, real quick, give me 10 seconds on Jake Rudock. That's all I'm giving you.
Best quarterback in the league. 2017 offensive
so
MVP.
So much. All right, we talked off the bat about Anthony Zettel. I don't think we really need to say much. I think it's interesting because I think Anthony Zettel will take that. That's a pretty, I thought, first off, pretty good steal. I know size is going to be a little, he's got short arms, but he will be back at defensive end. And I think it gives some contingency in case you lose out on Jason Jones. Like, I think that's the big thing there, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to whether Jason Jones is now going to be in the mix since they waited until the fifth or sixth round to get a defensive end there. He hasn't signed with the Dolphins yet, even though he's met with them a couple times. To me, that's kind of the more interesting storyline. I don't know if that'll make the team or not as a starter. I don't think he will. But
he could always be a lumberjack.
He's diverse enough to do that. I think he'll at the very least make the roster as a backup, though. Like, I don't think there's any way August rolls around and Zettel's cut from the final mix, or at least like also, down third on the depth chart or something.
Yeah, the other thing I thought was really interesting too is that heading into day two, the guys that both Jeremy and Jerry wanted in the first round, Emmanuel Ogba and Kevin Dodd, were still available, and I thought that it would be like a dream scenario if we could land either of those guys in the second round after getting Decker in the first round, but that didn't come to fruition, and they didn't, you know, decide to address the defensive end need until this late. So I really think that, you know, Jason Jones has to be kind of like a top priority now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was hoping that it was some type of way. And I saw some mocks where Ogba failed to like the late second round, which, you know, whatever. So I was definitely hoping that would happen. The fact that he didn't, you know, you kept looking. I was okay, maybe Noah Spence. Guys keep going off the board. I think the Lions really believe in Devin Taylor too. The fact that we didn't, you know, maybe they were just looking to draft a guy that could be the third or fourth defensive end. They feel like Devin Taylor. I mean, he has looked good in flashes. And the last eight games last year, he looked pretty good. So maybe this whole time the Lions felt like we have two really good starting defensive ends, and so we don't have to address it as early as, you know, some of us expected them to.
All right, and then the last two, Jimmy Landis, long snapper out of Baylor. We talked off the bat about why we're kind of shocked they took a long snapper, but hey, Patriot way or whatever, but protect our mole back. Yeah. Round seven, Dwayne Washington. I mean, okay.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that one at first, but I think his best move would to be moved to wide receiver, honestly.
Well,
he can catch the ball, and we don't really need his skill set in the backfield, you know.
I mean, yeah, it seems like a depth piece, and again, it's seventh round. Like that's kind of the thing I noticed about this whole draft. People, as the draft went on, started looking at, you know, Bob Quinn going like, "What are you doing?" But at the same time, if your complaints about the tail end of the draft, I've got nothing for you.
You know, Quinn spent a lot of time on special teams this offseason, too, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, aside from kicker and punter.
Adamasi,
you know,
he picked up.
Yeah, Adamasi, you know, bringing in gunners. So, you know, again, with Landis, it was kind of weird seeing the long snapper. And you forget how old Mulbach was until a buddy of mine, you know, he was complaining about a botched snap that Mulbach had in the Joey Harrington era. So, you know, the guy's 35, and it looks like Quinn is really – focusing on the details of special teams. We got a good kicker. Mm-hmm. We have a good punter. But, you know, he's making sure we had good gunners, good special teams guy for coverage. And, you know, this guy's the best long snapper. More than likely at the end of the sixth round, a guy's not going to make the team. But this is one of the rare cases where a guy in the sixth round might actually be someone that contributes for your team.
I think that's about it. You know, undrafted free agent signings are going on right now. A tight end, a couple of guards. You can see all of them at Pride of Detroit. We got them all there for you. Let's just real quick recap. Like, I mean, first off at the top, like, again, as I said, my favorite is A'shaun. He's just big and nasty and everything else. But I guess of these guys, who's your favorite? Let's go with Jerry, real quick.
Graham Glasgow from the University of Michigan is my favorite pick, man.
Kyle?
Give it to Swanson.
Pains me to say it, but I got to say Decker, just for the need base.
Ryan, and then Alex, and then we'll move on to grades.
My favorite pick is Killebrew.
Killebrew.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, and also Taylor Decker, number two.
Okay, yeah. Well, you were vindicated, Alex. You got vindicated on the Taylor Decker.
Yeah, I predicted that, so, yeah. You know.
All right, let's just do grades. I'm going to do a little thought experiment here, though. We are going to grade A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever. We're going to do, you know, school grades on the draft, just top to bottom, or even you can do it on certain picks, but I'm making one change. One change. You cannot use B. Because I refuse to have you guys grade this B. Like, I don't want it.
You guys, you don't want my grades?
No. We're giving grades, but I'm saying you can't grade it a B.
Oh, I can't grade it a B?
Yes. You can only grade A, C, D, and F. I am not allowing anyone to use B because I think a B is a non-committal answer.
That is a non-committal answer. That's the safe grade.
That's the safe grade that everyone's doing today. Like, it's kind of how grades have kind of gone up. It used to be C was an average. Now it's B's the average. And it's just kind of mm-hmm. a non-committal. It's like, all right, you did fine, but I'm not going to commit to calling it good. So give me it again on an A, C, D, F scale. What are you giving the Lions? Ryan.
Me first. Yes. Okay. Man. We didn't have the Jags draft, which I thought was a bona fide. That's like the A-plus draft. Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack in the same draft.
They are going to win that division as early as next year.
Yes.
Like, that division is trash. The Colts are not good outside of luck. Like, they have a chance to just rip that heart out.
And I did like their first-round pick. Ryan Kelly, I mean, The Colts first-round pick. I slowly sold myself on the idea of Ryan Kelly in Indianapolis. I thought that was a good pick. But Cat Team Brotherhood, Jaguars have a real good chance of being very good in that AFC South. My draft grade, though, I'm going to give him an I for incomplete.
You're going to do that to me, huh?
I am going to do that to you.
No, that's the right answer, we don't know what's going to happen. But, I mean, we just lost Alex because he kind of, like, shook his head when I said draft grades and walked away, so...
Yeah, Alex, you didn't hear this because he was opening a beer and he goes, "You guys are talking about the draft. That's the last thing I want to talk about."
What's he want to talk about?
He wants to talk about payback.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second. Kyle, though, has to go because the Tigers have to finish their game. Kyle, your draft grade.
Yeah, I honestly think I have to go A. I mean, I think the Lions, they hit on most of their needs. And I think the guys that they got to fill them, for the most part, were the right guys, or at least on paper look like they can fill those needs. Of course, any draft with two Michigan guys has to be an A, right? I mean, that's the most important part.
There's the homer. All right, we like this. At least we don't get it from, like, Ryan and Alex, the Sparty homer. I don't know. Maybe we'll have that in a few years. Jerry, your grade.
Yeah, I'll go with the A as well. I agree. B is a cop-out. So, to me, Killebrew and Glasgow, man, getting those two guys in the third and the fourth, that's amazing. I wasn't big on A'shaun, but the fact that you got him in the second round where he was mocked in the first, and then with Decker, I like Decker, man. I think, you know, people talk about Conklin, you know, to me, Decker, he was probably the best offensive lineman in the Big Ten last year, but Conklin got all the love. So, yeah, I got to give it an A. I like this draft. You know, we won't know for a few years, but I definitely like what Quinn has done so far.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it an A as well. I told myself that I thought this draft would be good if they got two starters out of it. Instead, it's looking like, well, just looking at the top of the draft, there are guys who have the potential to start just across there. I'm not going to go Kool-Aid and say, like, you know, Decker, Robinson, Glasgow, Killebrew, and Antoine Williams, all of them will start at some point. But, I mean, there's a good chance for, like, again, like, four guys here to maybe start, maybe not this year, but, like, next year.
Too. Yeah, Killebrew and Robinson, even if they don't start, they're going to play a lot of snaps next year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
yeah, for sure. I was going to say, I think that there's definitely probably three starters. I mean, Decker, A'shaun. Mm-hmm. I don't see why Glasgow can't compete with Travis Swanson in training camp for that starting position at center.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Antoine Williams, you'll have to see, because again, linebacker depth is pretty shallow. So, you know, and I think I was seeing too, like, I was seeing 538 had some trends when looking at future starters taken in the draft, and when it comes to linebackers, like, linebacker talent completely drops off after round one when it comes to future starters, but then, like, you get a spike again in the fifth round. Not saying it's going to happen just because it's arbitrarily fifth round, but might be there.
And Landis, guys, he might be a starter. We gotta add our long snapper. We love him.
All right, we have we tried out something this draft. We tried out the Pride of Detroit call-in line. This will be available for the future. This is not a one-time off thing. We got to test this out because we want to have your calls, your thoughts in. I think we need to stress that these calls need to be very short. They are not calls in to 97.1. We're not giving you a ton of time to talk before you know, Mike Valenti screeds in. But the number, as we were sharing around, 313-757-2981. You can call it at any time. Leave your message about anything you want about the Lions. No guarantee it'll get played, but we'll take the best ones. Please don't text it. I've been getting texts on here, and we're not going to read the texts. Like, it's a call-in line.
Yeah, that's why we have open threads every day, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we have a few longer calls here, but we're going to have these. They kind of run the gamut. One guy is very frustrated here. You know, have a couple other, you know, thoughts are across the board. We'll just let you have your say about this draft. We'll just let these play. So enjoy them.
Hi, this is Bo Gable. I'm just calling about the draft. I think Bob Quinn did a really good job. He addressed a lot of the needs for all the holes in our team, you know, instead of going for the best player available, which Mayhew was doing for so long. I'm happy to see something a little bit different. It's just good to, you know, see that our offensive line got a little stronger, it looks like. We're going to have a lot more depth now, for sure.
I think the draft is going good so far. We got the good offensive linemen that we needed to protect Stafford, because no way Stafford got sacked 89 times in the last 2 years. No way that's acceptable. And now they just got A'shaun Robinson. He's probably one of the best defensive tackles that were in the draft. Yeah, we're all set up so far.
Lions draft. See, if anything, the first four picks were just safe picks through the whole four rounds. After the four rounds, it seemed like Quinn left somewhere else. Like, all the picks after the fourth round, where'd they come from? No one knows. I am really shocked that he didn't go for a wide receiver. Burbridge was still there. Valdez Alexander was still there. Jalen Mills. And they passed on all these guys to take, I don't know. I'm just really angry right now, and it's, I don't know. I don't think anything's going to change from last year. I don't think so. If anything, I think we're going to be picking top 10 again. I'm just really upset right now.
I absolutely love the Decker pick. I don't know why Lions fans are all upset. Stafford's been in trouble running around for his life for the past couple of years. We finally addressed the offensive tackle, and I am super happy with it. I think it just sets up for next year for when we draft Leonard Fournette. Should be great.
Hey, this is Ty at the Lions in Winter. As much as I was dreading Ashawn Robinson 15th, love getting him in the second round, but I don't know how you pass on Vincent Valentine in the third round. He's like a magic vampire guy with shotguns. Did nobody in the war room play Final Fantasy VII? Peace.
All right, we're going to try to cap off the podcast here. It's been very busy. We love all your calls. Again, the number to call in, and we will have this up on our Twitter feed and everything else, 313-757-2981. That 81 is there for Calvin Johnson. And the rest of it's just kind of easy to figure out. So we got Reno back on the line. We've got Ryan back on the line. And let's just close off, gentlemen, by talking about just how Chicago's been for you guys. Like, it was our first incursion out there. We Own the Bears out there. Ryan, of course, talked to Jerron Reed. We got pictures of angry Jets fans. You know, everything else. What was that?
Did we? Did we get pictures of
angry Jets? I'm pretty sure Ryan posted something.
I got a picture of a guy in a Maurice Jones-Drew Pro Bowl jersey.
Oh, wow. I found a Reggie Bush jersey.
Yes,
well.
You posted that to the Slack. Yeah, yeah.
Draft Town was a lot of fun. I mean, the first time that Reno went down to
it was not fun when I went at all. It was just raining. It was a disaster.
It was raining sideways, but I mean, I always had a beer in my hand, so things were okay. I had the We Own the Bears sign. A lot of people stopped me, and I was wearing no Lions regalia, so every time somebody looked at me, they said, oh, Packers fan? And I said, no, Lions fan. Beat you twice last year.
You didn't put the Twitter handle on that.
We did at the end. Oh, okay. I left the sign at a porta potty. It was
lipstick.
The first one on the right, and we didn't have anything to write with, but like one of the girls that we were with had some lipstick, so she wrote hashtag Pride of Detroit.
You mean at Pride of Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, she wrote a hashtag. I wanted her to, you know, throw the Twitter handle. Don't worry, because okay, when we go to Payback tonight,
yes,
we got it. We got you covered.
Yes,
say,
let's talk about Payback.
The Bears.
That's the second leg of this.
Pride of Detroit.
Yeah, by the time everyone's hearing this, Payback's going to be over, but I know you guys are going out there. This is going to be great. Like, you know, we're getting a wrestling talk in, but I'm going to be watching it tonight. Jerry, are you going to be watching it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah,
like, these storylines going into tonight are great. What are you guys excited? You're going to take the We Own the Bears sign and everything.
Bullet Club. The formation of the Bullet Club. We're going to get Finn Balor tonight. We better get Finn Balor tonight. I drove all the way out to Chicago.
Everyone listening can go on, look and find out what happened in WWE listening to this podcast and see whether or not we have like completely got these right or not. But
this
yes,
is true.
Well, yes, hoping for Bullet Club.
Yep, exactly. We're hoping, we're predicting.
It's what we came here for, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the draft.
And speaking of, we were talking about some hard-hitting wrestling, Chris.
Yes.
If you're into hard-hitting wrestling.
Miles
Killebrew? No, Miles Killebrew. Miles Killebrew is some
Anthony Zettel, Muay Thai, MMA.
That's right. But Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Those guys are going to smack the shit out of each other.
I like it. No, that's one of my headlines. I know Kalisto and Ryback are going back at it again tonight, I think, as well.
Let's not forget Bret the Hitman Hart. ringside, baby.
Oh yeah, that's right, for Bret the for the women's championship.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Shout out, because Bret Hart, this is probably the site we're going to, the site where Bret Hart maybe had his most infamous match of all time at WrestleMania 13 against Stone Cold Steve Austin. We had the double turn. Bret goes heel, Austin goes face. I mean,
the double WrestleMania turn. 13?
Come on, man.
The rare double turn.
The rare double turn that worked to perfection. Because,
I mean,
who loves Canadians?
I do, I guess. Oh, God, you set me up on that. No, you guys have had so much fun in Chicago.
Reno's wife is in the room, and she's from Canada.
Oh, okay. wait, she's the rare girlfriend who actually was from Canada.
I believe Tomke's brother is dating somebody from Toronto, too, right?
Yeah, I don't
know. I think he mentioned that.
That's like the oldest joke in the book, though, right? Right? The girlfriend, the model who lives in Canada.
Sure.
Tomke Brothers are
good. I love the Tomke Brothers.
Tomke Brothers, you want to go to Chicago, they'll show you some hospitality.
Yeah, you're going to Robot, but yeah, Chris Tomke, who runs things of that nature, his brothers, they run roughshod. I know Jeremy's met them too, but it sounds like Chicago's been great for you guys, so. You know, bless it. Have fun at Payback tonight, and I'm hoping to see one more man there at Payback, and his name is John C.
And now we get the Bears pick here in Chicago.
And Rich, I'm very much a Beavers guy.
The Chicago Bears select Deion Bush, defensive back, Miami.
Bush first caught my eye at the East West game.
I can't help you out, man. The producer, help us out.
Let's go back to the East West game. Deion Bush.
Let's talk about Gerald Hawkins right now.
Let's talk about it.
We'll throw it a break.
Let's go back.
Just throw it a break.